not she brews, but he brews. There's some kind of joke about coffee in there, and I don't remember what it is, so I won't try to get it. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read the first 10 verses, or first 17 verses here this morning, and renew our minds. We started through this a couple of months ago. Now, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Lewis preached the morning service, and then last week, Brother Dunn preached the morning service, and so it's been 3 weeks since we last looked at Hebrews chapter 13, so I want to catch us up to speed. Hebrews 13, verse number 1, we are looking at evidences of salvation. Again, as Paul is closing out the book of Hebrews, he's turning from the emphasis on the law to the emphasis on faith. In chapter 11, he gave us all those heroes of faith. All right, the examples. In chapter 12, he gave us the encouragement to faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And here in chapter 13, he's given us evidence of our faith. You and I need to always be working on our outward testimony. It is never perfected. It is never 100%. And woe be to the person that thinks that they have arrived. So we're always working on that, and Paul gives us some areas to examine ourselves to make sure that we are walking in the faith and that our walk and our talk match. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, Paul said, "Let brotherly love continue." We've been looking at that a lot in 1 John the last few weeks on Sunday evenings. We'll be there again tonight. The importance of brotherly love. "Let be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serveth the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. God, thank you for the instruction it gives for salvation, that we know how to be saved because the word of God has told us. Lord, after that, you're not finished with us. You're not dead. You desire our sanctification. And Lord, we do have a part in that. We are to set ourselves apart unto you. And Lord, Paul has given us some things here in Hebrews chapter 13 that we can examine ourselves with to make sure, Father, we are in the faith. Make sure we are being a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ in this lost and dark world. Father, encourage us this morning by the truths of the Word of God. Challenge us by what we read. We pray most of all, Father, should there be one today that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that God, today would be the day of their salvation. They've come to know Him, whom to know is life everlasting. Bless your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Quickly to review, we saw that verse 1 to 3 taught us that an evidence of salvation is Christian compassion, to have love one for another. And that compassion is not only for ourselves, but strangers in verse number 2, and sufferers in verse number 3. It said, remember them that are in bonds as being bound with them that suffer adversity. Then we saw in verse number 4, Christian chastity. That is, that marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. In the society and day we live in, where immorality is a given, a Christian ought to be different. Verse number 4, Christian contentment. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Paul said, I have found that when whatsoever state I am, whether Michigan or Ohio, no, whatsoever state, whatever condition, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. We are to be content with such things as we have. Verse number 6 was Christian courage, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We need in our day Christian courage. In verse number 7, it was Christian consideration. And that is this, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The Bible talks about consideration for those that break the Word of God and feed us the Word of God and instruct us and set the example of living the Christian life, Christian consideration. That brings us today down to verse number 8. And verse number 8 says simply this, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, I am so thankful that my God is an unchanging God. I'm thankful that He doesn't wake up one morning and feel differently about me than He did the day before. I'm thankful that His Word is not changing. His way is not changing. His will is not changing. And what I put the title on for verse number 10 is simply this, Christian consistency. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a challenge for you and I to be consistent in our Christian life. We might use some other words to define it. We might say faithful. We might use the word dependable. But whatever it is, we need to be consistent in our Christian life. The world does not need to see a bunch of folks that are Christian on Sunday, but not Christian on Monday. They don't need to see folks that praise God when they're in church and curse God when they're out of church. The world needs to see consistency, and we should be consistent simply because our Savior is consistent. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Keep your place there, but look back, if you would, to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. The last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, and look at verse number 6. Here we have confirmed to us, you say, well, that says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says this, for I am the Lord, I change not. There's a consistency even in the Godhead, that there is faithfulness, there is dependability. There is a regular spirit that you can depend on. The world is always changing. People call it in our day progressives. They want to change this and they change that. And without a doubt, there's things in our society that do need changed. But change for the sake of change is not good change. And when it comes to our Christian faith, can I say this? There's nothing that needs to be changed. Our doctrine does not need to be changed. And yet folks today and churches today and believers today are getting wishy-washy on their doctrine. They don't know what they believe. A false teacher comes around and throws something at them. We talked about it in Sunday school a little bit. They come and throw something at it and they misquote a verse from somewhere and Christians just buy into it, hook, line, and sinker. The faith of our fathers, the doctrines of the church are not going to change, no matter who it is that tries to change them. The doctrines ought not be erased. They ought not be overlooked. They ought not be ignored. They're important things. Thank God that our doctrines do not change. Our Bible is unchanging. Can I say that this morning? The Bible you've got in your hand, if you've got the old one, the 1611 authorized King James Version, translated by 47 to 52 men, depending on what source you use. These men are the greatest intellectual ability of their day that spent 7 years or 6 years translating this Bible into our language and perfecting our language in the meantime. It doesn't need change. Not a word of it needs changed. Not a punctuation mark needs changed. Nothing in it needs change, because any changes are not good changes. And yet a lot of folks have bought into the new modern translation version and have no idea what they've just spent their money on. I'm glad that our doctrine doesn't change. I'm glad that our Bible doesn't change. I'm glad our music doesn't change. In a world where the music has fads and systems, and you know, it's kind of sad, because there are times I can look back at the church music of the 50s and 60s, and sometimes you hear it and it sounds like the Sinatras and the Tony Bennetts of the 30s and the 40s. And you see where church music just kind of follows a trend sometime. That's why the hymn books are so reliable for us. That's why there are our rock when it comes to music. They're unchanging song. That's not to say there isn't good music out there today. The song that we just sang, "You are always good." I like that. And didn't that go along with what I'm preaching right now? You are always good. Now, Pastor Lewis had no idea what I was going to preach on, and yet the song before that was that very title. Aaron played for the offertory, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." She had no idea what I was going to preach on. And I was up here singing along, "Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God our Father. Thou changest not. Thou changest not." Isn't it amazing how God can put a thread together like that? And our songs, they don't change. You don't, folks, if it's modern, you don't need it. If it's on the radio, you don't need it. If it's popular, even the style, you know, they talk about Christian rap and Christian this and Christian that, and to me that's putting two words together that don't belong together whatsoever. There's nothing wrong with the old music. And here's what I've found, and mark this down, especially young people, mark this down. When you start listening to the world's music, God's music will seem dull. Did you get that? When you start listening to 96.7 or whatever the stations are there, when you start listening to modern, contemporary, secular music, you will get an appetite for that, and then when you turn on good, strong Christian music, you'll think it's dull and unentertaining. That ought to be an alarm signal for you that something's wrong. When you don't enjoy "Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father," when you need the songs that are of the day, I'm glad our music is unchanging. So there's a lot of things. Now, change is good in certain areas. But we find about our Savior, He's unchanging. About our God, He is unchanging. And we need a God like that. We need Christian consistency. Do you realize what a blessing that is? Under what condition is it okay to not be Christian? I'm posing the question to you. Under what conditions is it okay to not be Christian? We come in on a Sunday morning. We dress in our best. We carry a Bible under our hand. We open the songbook and we sing. We give an offering. And to everybody else in the room, we are showing we are Christian. We are saved. May I challenge you that that doesn't end when you go out the door out there. You don't check your Christianity at the church house and then go out into the world and just kind of merge into society and try to get through unnoticed. Make sure you don't make too much of a stand or too much of a stink anywhere. And we just blend in with those things that are around us. Can I say that the Lord Jesus Christ never blended in? And it wasn't His appearance, because the Bible tells us that He looked no different than any other human being. Again, that's why I'm always humored by the pictures of Michelangelo and others that paint the long-haired, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus. I think I'd spot him in the synagogue. I think among all those dark-haired, brown-eyed Jewish leaders, I think that fellow would stand out. But no, the Bible tells us he fit right in there. In fact, Song of Solomon says his hair was black and curly, like a raven and curly. He fit in. And yet he was consistent in his life. Whether he was with his disciples on a mountaintop or the multitude down in the valley, Jesus Christ was the same. Whether he was healing people or teaching people, Jesus Christ was the same. Whatever he did, wherever he went, there was a consistency to his behavior and his appearance. And may we challenge ourselves this morning when we read these verses, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you and I might be that kind of consistent. Have that kind of faithfulness. That kind of dependability. Jesus Christ, the Lord God, never changes His mind. Aren't you glad about that? He never has a second thought about things. He knows what's right and He always does it. You and I need that consistency when it comes to church attendance. We know what's right, do it. There should be no argument, no debate. The church doors are open. Where do we belong? There should be no inconsistency in our church attendance. No inconsistency in our language. We don't talk differently in church on Sunday than we do in the workplace on Monday. It's a sad truth, especially with social media, that a lot of people that wouldn't utter those words in public or out loud will post them on Facebook. There's an inconsistency in our Christianity. And believe me, the world notices that. And I've seen them point that out sometimes on social media, that someone that they know is a Christian and claims the name of Christ, yet uses language or shares a post from a website that's got a vulgar title. And they post that on there and they say, we need to be consistent. Consistent in our attitude. Our attitude should be consistent. You know, Jesus never had a bad day. He never woke up on the wrong side of the bed. He was never in a bad mood. Now I've got to qualify that when I say that, don't I? There's a couple times that he got angry. He got upset with those that were buying and selling in the temple on two different occasions. He had to make a whip and drive them out of there, and I can get it. But he did not wake up that morning with a bad spirit and a bad attitude, looking for problems and looking for troubles to have. He ran into those Pharisees and Sadducees there in Matthew chapter 23, and he gave them a tongue lashing. He called them scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, whited sepulchres, devouring widows' houses. He spared no words on that, but he did not wake up that morning in a bad mood, and that was a result of that. Usually when we do those things, it's the result of a bad mood or the result of an attitude or something along that line. Jesus Christ was consistent. He was consistent in his views. What he thought was wrong, he didn't change his mind on. Again, we go back to the Word of God when it comes to this. I'm glad that God does not conform to society. I'm glad that when the norms of society go a certain way, God doesn't feel obligated to go that way also. And folks, you understand, we live in a world that's going this direction. I don't mean you folks on this side. Don't take that personal. The world's going this direction, and this direction is not a godly direction. This direction is not a good direction. Our society is not going to make decisions that are righteous. Just mark that down. And in the meantime, we are trying to swim upstream against that society. That's what Jesus Christ did. He didn't go along with what was going on in his day. He denounced those things that were wrong. He spoke out against the ills of society in his day. Those very ones I just said that devoured widows' houses, he jumped on them for that. Those that were buying and selling on the temple, he rejected them for that. He had standards he did not let loose. You and I need to be careful. I found this over 46 years of being a Christian, that sometimes it's easy to back off. Sometimes it's easy to compromise. Sometimes it's easy to give in. When the pressure gets hard, when people are around us and they want us to not be so dogmatic about our faith. Why do you have to go to church all the time? Why do you give your money to the church? Boy, the world just doesn't understand that one at all, do they? Why do you have to be so dogmatic about your faith? Why do you have to witness to people? Why do you have to pray for people? Why do you have to tell your family about the Lord? We are consistent in a world that's consistent, but consistently inconsistent. Does that make any sense? In a world that's going this direction and changing, I don't even try to keep up anymore. You know, I see these advertising things, you know, the Academy Awards. It's the only one. They got so many awards now, I can't keep up. But the Academy Awards. And I'm looking for Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne, actors. I mean, actors. And they put these people up here with names that I've never heard of before in my life. And I look at them and I say, well, they must still be in their acting costume because they sure don't look normal right there. This world changes and things are going a certain direction. And for you and I to be what society would call a stick in the mud, not following along with the dress standards of the world, the hair standards of the world, the vernacular of the world, the music of the world, the entertainment. Am I making myself clear? You and I are so out of place in this world right now. We are, the Bible says, strangers and pilgrims passing through. And I'm not recommending that we be an ostrich that sticks our head in the sand and ignores what's going on around us. I'm just encouraging you to be consistent because your God is consistent. I'm glad He doesn't wake up one morning, look at me and say, you don't deserve to be my child. You don't deserve to be saved. And change His mind on that. I'm glad that when I trusted Him as my Savior, it was signed, sealed, and delivered. It was guaranteed. I was adopted into the family of God. And it doesn't depend on me. It depends on Him. And He is unchanging. Your salvation is based on an unchanging God through His unchanging Word. You can't have it any better than that. Jesus was consistent in His life. He doesn't change His mind. He doesn't change His attitude. He didn't change His views. He didn't change His mood. You never caught Him in a bad mood. Suffer the little children to come unto Me, for of such is the kingdom of God. Whether He's surrounded by children, surrounded by adults, surrounded by the religious, surrounded by the publicans and sinners, He was the same. He was holy and righteous. He never violated anything. We need to be thankful for a church that is unchanging. Get into our Thanksgiving message here a little bit. We need to be thankful that our salvation is unchanging. Nothing can affect it. Nothing can change it. Nothing can alter it. We need to be thankful for our church that's unchanging. Now, we have changed. Our carpet is different. Our entryway door system is different. This columns and these things were not here when we moved in. You understand when I say the church is unchanging. Folks in the modern church movement, to justify changing their music, to justify changing their lighting, to justify changing their dress code on the platform, to justify changing their Bible translation, to justify changing the dress of the preacher or the preacherette on the platform, to justify all that, they say, well, all churches change. You put indoor plumbing in at one point. You ran electric to the building at one point. Those aren't the changes we're talking about. Yes, we drive cars to church. We have changed. We're not walking or riding horse-drawn carriages. But when it comes to what goes on within the church, we're unchanging. Because our Savior is unchanging. Don't be intimidated or afraid to say we're not changing. Well, you need to change. Times have changed. Circumstances have changed. Situations have changed. You need to change. No, I don't. No, you don't. We need to be faithful to Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm thankful that He's an unchanging God. I'm thankful that no matter what He does, He's always the same. He's never ruffled. God never says, oh, what am I going to do now? Don't you feel that way sometimes? God never complains. He's got reason to. He's got room to, but He never does. God's never at a loss for words. He's given us everything we need to know right there. He's an unchanging God. He never does wrong. He never needs to apologize for anything. He never hesitates for a moment. That's the same we need to be. We need to challenge ourselves to be that way. His Word is never changing. His will never changes. Can I ask you a question this morning? I'm going to. If a God is that good of a God, as Dr. Giler said, this God is our God. If that God is so good and so unchanging, is there anything He could ask of us that would be unreasonable? I'm just putting that question in your mind. If this God is who He is, and He is, I am God, there's none beside me, He told Isaiah. And if this God is so good and so unchanging and so loving, can I say when it comes to unchanging, God is love. God always has been love. God always will be love. Love is not a New Testament truth. We've been looking at that in 1 John on Sunday evenings. He said back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I believe, I have loved thee, He said to the nation of Israel, I have loved thee and set thee aside. He said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. God's love is never changing. And if we have a God that's not changing like that, and His Word's not changing, can I say this? His will is not changing. He has a desire for your life and mine, and He is not unreasonable in asking anything. If He asked anything, He would not be unreasonable. If He asked us to chop off our right arm, now He won't. He hasn't, let me assure you of that. But if He asked us to, could we say, God, You're unreasonable? He's never unreasonable. Keep your place there in Hebrews. Look back at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You know the verses well. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Here's what God has asked of us, this unchanging God, whose ways are perfect, whose love is unaffected. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. God speaks through the pen of the Apostle Paul and says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, for you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Excuse me. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is God's. Paul says, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. The will of God is to offer your body a sacrifice. That's God's will. It was His will 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote Romans chapter 12. It's His will just as much today as it was back then. His will is unchanging. I'm thankful for a dependable God, a reliable God that doesn't say, hey, this is what I want today and this is what I want tomorrow. He wants the same thing all the time, for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, because we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Our life does not belong to us. Our life belongs to God. We should consult Him in everything that we do. We should ask Him about everything that we are, because He's an unchanging God. And once you get to know Him once, you don't have to get to re-know Him a second time. He's the same God. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, notice that word, reasonable. Reasonable service. As I said earlier, is there anything God's ever asked you to do that's unreasonable? He's asked me to give up some things for consistency's sake. The day I got saved was a Sunday evening back in June of 1975, a long time ago. But it was a Sunday evening that I went to church and I got saved. I went back to the Marine base Sunday night. Monday, I went back to my platoon, my office where we worked. And after I got off duty, I went back to the barracks and there was about six guys that said, "Let's go out and do some PT. Let's go have a run." And I don't know, we ran 3 miles or 5 miles or something. Well, no, this is my story. We ran 26.2 miles. I can tell it any way I want to. We ran a few miles. I don't know what it was. And after that, we went back to the barracks. We sat in the barracks, and one of the guys, as is the custom, handed Budweiser out to everybody there sitting in the circle, about six of us. And I'm sitting there, and we're having a conversation, and I am just bubbling inside because of what happened to me Sunday night. And I'm waiting for an opportunity to share that with the rest of the guys, waiting for a break in the conversation. And all of a sudden that break comes. And with all the thrill and excitement I could muster, I said, "I got to tell you guys what happened to me yesterday." And so they gave me a minute. I said, "I went to church," and I began to give my testimony. I went to church, and Sunday night, I went down to the altar, and a guy took me aside and showed me how I could get saved, and I got saved. And one guy that lived in the barracks, his name was Corporal Brown. I don't know his first name. Corporal Brown, a black guy that was in our, he's sitting right there across from me. He looked at me, and with every ounce of contempt in his body, he said, "You stinking hypocrite." And I thought, I've only been saved 12 hours. How in the world could I be a hypocrite already? 24 hours. He said, "What is that you got in your hand?" And it was that Budweiser. And right then God showed me, if you're going to be saved and you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to be consistent. And can I tell you this, and I just say this for testimony's sake, I did have a problem with that kind of stuff before I got saved. It got me in trouble before I got saved, and I won't go into any details, but it got me in trouble. And that day when he said that, that so convicted my soul. I set that down 46 years ago and haven't had a problem with it to this day. I say that because this, I did have a problem before, and I tried several times before that to put it down and never pick it up again. And could not get the victory over that till I got saved. And that guy, for the rest of my life, I'll remember that the guy that convicted me, I know it was the Holy Ghost, but he used Corporal Brown, the black guy named Brown. He used him to speak to me and put that conviction. And I learned at an early stage, we need to be consistent. Now, we all have to work on that in areas of our life. Whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's bad language, whether it's whatever it might be, attitudes, those things, we need to be consistent. Why? Because we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves. And everything we do, we're supposed to be glorifying God. That's our reasonable service. So anything we do that's different from that is our unreasonable service. Lord, I'll not do this, and I'll not do that, and I'll not do the other thing because I don't feel like it. See the problem? We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. It's not our will, Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. When it comes to make a decision between something spiritual and something secular, there's really no decision to be made. And the longer we're saved, most of us that have been saved a long time, we have a little more ease with that than younger people do. I don't face the same temptations I did when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, now that I've been saved 40 plus years. But at the same time, God's always working on me about consistency. Be consistent. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2, of course, tells us, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed. God's will for us, the same as it's always been. Be not conformed to this world. What does it mean to conform? To give in. To become like this current world system. Now, the world has its likes and dislikes, its preferences and its non-preferences. And when what the world is doing doesn't violate the will of God, there's nothing wrong with it. But when it violates the will of God, there's no choice or decision to be made, Christian. We're not to be conformed to this the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're all working on renewing our mind. We had an unregenerate mind. We were enemies in our mind by wicked works before we got converted. Now we've been saved and we are renewing our mind. Can I tell you that renewing never ends? That renewing carries on right till the grave or till the rapture, one or the other. We are working on renewing our mind. How do we do that? By not conforming to the world. By getting the things out that don't belong there, putting the things in that do belong there. God's will has not changed. It's the same it's always been. We are to present our bodies. We are to not be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove it to who? To those that are watching. To those that are outside. Paul said, being compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us therefore run this race. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I encourage you this morning? Jesus Christ knows the trials and temptations that you face. The Bible tells us He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He knows what it's like. He took on a body of flesh. He came down here and dwelt among us. He was tempted and tried like we are. He knows what we're going through. And yet in spite of that, He was consistent. He was dependable. He was faithful. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, may it be said of us, when the preacher stands before our casket, that the preacher can say of our life and our testimony from the day that they got saved, I can say they were the same yesterday, today, and forever. They were Christian when they were in church. They were Christian when they're out of church. They're Christian in the schoolhouse. They're Christian in the workplace. They were Christian when they're among Christians. They were Christian when they're among non-Christians. Can we be the same yesterday, today, and forever? Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.